Blog Talk Radio.
When were you last on an amazing vacation? I'm Tracy Lewis, leisure travel specialist with Pogo World Travel, and I'm here to tell you that you don't have to go it alone when planning the vacation of a lifetime. So the next time you're looking for expert advice on that perfect vacation, you've got Pogo World Travel every step of the way. Visit our website at gowithpogo.com today and find out why they say, go with Pogo World Travel and discover your dream of vacation come true.
Nursing home, we not know when she died or what happened. Had to be really hard. It's hurt because Miss Arepo is one of those black folks who gave so much. He and Conrad and Keisha came to my office and asked me to introduce the reparation resolution, and I said, yeah, I'm going to introduce. I introduced it, but it wasn't good enough, so I introduced the ordinance so it could be law. But they was lobbying all over the country. She was with Reparation Ray. It's a lot of stuff, but she gave her life, her whole life of living to black people, and she gave it with a smile, and she gave it out of love. So that was really good last night. You're listening to Talk of Chicago 1690 WVON. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live on www.wvon.com. We're on blackplanet.com. We're on Blog Talk. We're on iHeartRadio, y'all. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook and group Facebook. I want you to wake up everybody, call them, get your coffee, get your tea, and come on back and talk to me. This is Open Forum Day, and I'll talk to you. I'll be right back.
Hi, this is Cornell West.
And I'm Tavis Smiley.
And we're pleased to be heard once again in the great city of Chicago.
And better yet, this signal spills over into my home state of Indiana. So I guess we'll have to get Mama a new aerial for her roof in Kokomo.
Oh, that's so nice. We want you to join us for unique conversations and perspectives as we keep the focus on the least of these.
That's Smiley and West today at 11 right here on WVON, the talk of Chicago, 1690 AM.
Join us Saturday, September 28th for Marvin Sapp Ministries Presents He Saw the Dokes in Me live at the Harold Washington Cultural Center, starring Crystal P, Akin Tunde, hosted by Hans Sapp. The doors open at 5 p.m., showtime 6 p.m. For tickets, log on to TicketWeb.com or call 773-373-1900. This is one show you don't want to miss. See you at the theater.
Who in the hell left the gate open?
This is Linnell Harris, Chicago's very own life coach, and I'm the host of Inspirational Perspective. Tune in every Saturday evening at 10 p.m. to get motivated and inspired for the new week. Inspirational Perspective on your radio is all about murdering mediocrity and living your best life possible. Tune in every Saturday at 10 p.m. right here on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 a.m., WVON.
Hi, this is Teresa Deer, host of Let's Get to Work, heard Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 9:30. America is on the road to recovery, bringing new jobs and new opportunities. Join us as we explore ways to help you get the job you want, keep the job you have, and secure the job that's waiting for you. Join us Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 9:30, as we empower, enable, and equip you with the information you need to get the job you want. Let's Get to Work, heard exclusively on the Talk of Chicago, WVON.
In small towns and big cities, from coast to coast and around the world, Habitat for Humanity volunteers gather with purpose. Hand in hand, they come together. They may be strangers or they may be friends, but they are all builders of hope and homes. Hammers are raised, bricks are laid, dreams take shape, and another family finds shelter in a home they help build. Through their time and talents, Habitat for Humanity volunteers are helping change lives for the better, and in the process, maybe even changing their own lives as well. Together, we can eliminate substandard housing. Won't you join us? Support the work of Habitat for Humanity in your community or wherever your heart leads you. Now more than ever, please volunteer. Get involved and help build it. Visit us at habitat.org.
There are all sorts of excuses for not saving energy. It's only one lamp. It's
just one TV. It's like all the way in the other room. What difference will it make if I turn things off when I'm done with them or not? If we switch to energy-saving light bulbs, or put in a programmable thermostat,
how much energy and money could it possibly save? Sometimes I wonder if we could be more efficient with the energy we have now and tuck away more resources for later.
You know, it just never hurts to plan more for the future. My name is
Carl, and I'm going to get started today.
We can all help save more energy for tomorrow. What's your excuse? For more energy-saving tips that also save money, visit loseyourexcuse.gov/parents. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy, the Ad Council, and this station.
Hi, I can't come to the phone right now because I'm abusing my children, not just verbally, but physically. I'll get back to you.
If only child abuse was this easy to recognize. If you even suspect abuse, call Child Help at 1-800-4-A-CHILD or visit childhelp.org. We've helped millions of people help millions of children. All calls are anonymous and confidential, so call 1-800-4-A-CHILD or visit childhelp.org. Child Help. Trust your instincts. Brought to you by Child Help and the Ad Council.
What are you doing?
Filling out a loan application.
I can help you get approved, you know.
Really? How?
With this.
A bag of sand?
It's not a bag. It's a pouch. And it's not sand. It's credit fairy dust.
Credit fairy dust?
Yes. I sprinkle some fairy dust on the application, and your credit rating magically improves.
There's no such thing as the credit fairy.
An unbeliever now. But what will you think when your loan is approved?
I'll think my credit score improved because I paid my bills on time, kept my credit card balances low, and only opened a new card if I really needed it.
It's the dust.
It's sand.
Don't deny the credit fairy.
There's no magic to improving your credit, but there is help, and it's free. Go to creditfairy.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the Consumer Bankers Foundation, the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights Education Fund, and the Ad Council.
Jessica.
Hi, Mrs. Johnson. Is Megan there?
Sure. Follow me. The kids are in the kitchen making sandwiches.
Hey, Julie.
Hi, Megan.
Hey, Megan.
Yeah?
You're a total freak. God, you're ugly. And dumb. Oh, and your makeup makes you look like a tramp.
Oh, my God.
Tommy Morris told me you guys made out. Everybody knows. The whole school knows. He said your breath smelled like garbage, and he almost puked. He says you're the most desperate girl he knows. And that dress is totally hideous. You look like a big fat clown. Disgusting. Oh, and by the way, nice zit.
If you wouldn't say it in person, why say it online? Delete cyberbullying. Don't write it, don't forward it. For more information, visit ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
There are all sorts of excuses for not saving energy. It's only one lamp.
It's
just one TV. It's like all the way in the other room. What difference will it make if I turn things off when I'm done with them or not? If we switch to energy-saving light bulbs, or put in a programmable thermostat,
how much energy and money could it possibly save? Sometimes I wonder if we could be more efficient with the energy we have now and tuck away more resources for later.
You know, it just never hurts to plan more for the future. My name is
Carl, and I'm going to get started today.
We can all help save more energy for tomorrow. What's your excuse? For more energy-saving tips that also save money, visit loseyourexcuse.gov/parents. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy, the Ad Council, and this station.
If you're not facing your mortgage issues, this can be the most terrifying sound in the world. It means you've fallen behind. It means hope is dwindling. It means you're another call closer to losing your home to foreclosure. Fortunately, there's hope. If you need real help and guidance, call 1-888-995-HOPE. That's 1-888-995-4673. Because nothing is worse than doing nothing. A public service announcement brought to you by NeighborWorks, the ad council, and this station.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WBON.
Was lit up. I know y'all. I'm coming to y'all in a minute. This is it. Ooh. Ooh. Ooh-wee, it's killing me. Hey, y'all. It's out of sight. I'm in a good mood. I'm in a black kind of mood this morning, as always. It's tough enough. Welcome back, y'all, to Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman, the Talk of Chicago, 1690. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live on www.wvon.com. We also on iHeartRadio. We're on Facebook, group Facebook, Twitter, and we're on Blog Talk. You can go back to Blog Talk and get what you missed. If you missed some, you can go back and you can get it. You know, I tell folks that they listen to me from all over the country, all over the world, and all over the city and the suburb. We're just so happy to have you. And we got to go back to the phone. I talked about some of the things earlier, and you all been holding on, so I know you're listening. We're also going to play some Paul Robeson this morning at some point, so you can hear Paul Robeson, what he's, a tape of his, what he said. And get everybody up, because at our 7 o'clock hour, we're going to play a clip from Chancellor Williams. He was a great author, Destruction of Black Civilization. Just a little statement that he made, and I want to make sure that I play it. So we're going to go back to the phone. The phone is lit up. I'm going to go back to the phone. Benjamin, how you doing?
Good morning to my surrogate mother. Good morning to Miss Dorothy Tillman. How you doing today?
I'm fine, Benjamin.
I was giving compliments to your daughter, Ebony, and I just wanted to say hello right quick.
Thank you.
Miss Tillman, I was out of town last week when you had your show, but I did listen to it. And I got to say this, Miss Tillman. I don't too much believe in censorship.
Uh-huh.
But I understand why sometimes on VON that certain people are not allowed to call. I can name two females and two males. They bring nothing positive to the table. They're very deconstructive and use VON just to criticize and to hurt people, say things about people that's not true. And I don't like that. I'm for people being able to speak their opinion. That's fine. But when you use VON to try to hurt people who haven't even done anything to you, I'm including me and our organization out here in River Forest, Each One Teach One, my family, my friends, people who I keep close.
You do a good job of those children out there.
And I just don't know why they do that. I'm like, I even told people like this, Ms. Tillman. I said, anybody, if you have a problem with anything that we have done, let us know. I even told them, give us a call on the phone. Let us know what we have done to you. So let's sit down and let's have nice dialogue about
hey,
it.
Hey, Benjamin, this is what they say.
All they want to do is just call VON and complain and complain. I'm not saying don't complain, But if you got a beef with somebody, sit down at a table or wherever you want to sit down and discuss what the differences are before it escalates. That's all I even ask people, so I'm going to leave that alone. Number two, Ms. Tillman, I want to be a part of the conversation when you said last week when you asked people. We know people like Mayor Daley don't like the community. You know Rahm Emanuel don't like the community. Dick Devine, John Burns, and Eva Alvarez. We know that. But what are you going to do constructive for your community?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? And I even ask people, hey, give us a call. We would like to be involved. I want to be a part of that show, Ms. Tillman, when you have that one show where you talk about what constructive things can you do for yourself and for your community. So instead of focusing on the negative, we can think about the positive things. So I hope I can be part of that.
Well, maybe I can do it. I might try to do one in September and have everybody, that's what they be calling in on, talking about what we're going to do. We'll see. This time be going by so fast with so much to be happening, Benjamin.
Yeah, I won't be in town next week, Ms.
But Brown. No, you can listen wherever you are whenever we do it.
I'm going to listen to you. You know that I'm going to be in Vegas next week, but I'm going to still be listening to Ms. Timmons from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. You know I respect you a lot, Ms. Timmons, whether we agree on something or disagree on it.
Right.
I'm going to be listening to you until you go out to Edgar at 8 o'clock, and I want you and the Timmons family to have a nice day.
Thank you, Benjamin. Thank you so much. I tell you. Reverend Witherspoon, good morning to you.
God bless you.
And also you, Reverend Witherspoon.
God bless you, Ms. Kimmel. I got something going on now on the south side.
What you got?
I know I didn't make your engagement, but I got some at Beverly Woods.
Beverly Woods. What you doing in Beverly Woods?
I got some prayer warriors. Like I'm prayer warrior meeting.
Oh.
It's from 12 to 4.
Oh, got them prayer warriors, huh? They said God was sending those angels, those fighters angels, those warriors to stand by your side. We talk about his other stuff, but he's sending warriors, too.
Yeah, we know you're a warrior. I definitely, they're going to be charging. They're going to be imparting the prayer warriors to charge them up to do a work in the community.
What time is that, Reverend Witherspoon?
It's from 12 to 4.
When?
12
to 4 when?
September 22nd.
How?
September 22nd
of September, the prayer warriors are going to be in Beverly Woods. Okay, Reverend Witherspoon.
Yeah, I definitely want you and your daughter to come out to take it.
Well, let me see what I'm going to be doing. We'll talk about it. I'll get the number. We'll talk to Courtney, and we'll see what we're doing.
Yeah,
22nd.
Courtney. Yeah, Courtney got the information.
Okay, you know if she can make it, she's going to be there. She'll be there. If I can't be there, Courtney will be there. Thank you, Reverend Witherspoon.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Ain't nothing like Courtney. Courtney's going to hang out where the spirituality is. I tell you, my daughter, Courtney, what can I do with you? All right, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, young lady. How are you doing?
Fine. I haven't heard from you in a little while.
Well, you know, I sometimes like to give it a rest. So when I come
it's
home,
all right. It's all right to rest sometimes. Body needs. Dr. King told us that sometimes rest is work.
What I wanted to say, sister, is what you're saying is correct about the young people, you said the Hispanics and young people don't know where they come from. And how can they know? We can't blame them for something they don't know.
Wait, now, let me be clear. I said I took Jackie Grimshaw's places when I was talking, and they were talking about immigration. I talked about forced immigration. A lot of them really did not understand our forced immigration.
That's what I'm saying.
And some of the blacks in there didn't know our stuff, too, but because we have got to, you know, they're around there fighting their struggle while everybody else trying to make us stand up.
But that's the problem with the black youth in the community. There has been a 30-year disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't understand nothing about slavery, riding no buses in the back. They don't all this stuff that we are continuously talking about, they cannot relate to it. That is not their struggle or their life.
Somehow
we as parents and those who was in authority and power have the resources to keep, like the Jews, keep the understanding of what it took to be where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
We wasn't on that page. Most of those who were successful, are successful, wealthy, got their money, got their education, and moved on out to the suburbs, and that was a wrap. Now everything has fallen apart, and now we want to blame the youth or those young men who was privileged and women whom fathers and mother who gave them everything, they ran out into the city and got on drugs and alcohol and all these people who work for these buildings and property, they didn't teach their children the struggle of the hard work and success. they were given things. So these are the offspring of parents and those who were in authority who spoil their children and grandchildren and then teach them any discipline. And now this is the product of what we as black people failed to do. There was an authority and a power in terms of resources, finance, and education.
Okay.
So until we can get that together and put that back into the teaching of our young people, they don't know nothing about what we're talking about.
Well, we certainly cannot blame our young folks for the state. I like to say are those who reap the educational, political, and economic benefit of our struggle did not come back and rebuild communities. They ran.
Of course
not. Like you say. Thanks, Art. Thank you so much. I tell you. Maceo, how you doing this morning?
Oh, good morning, Alderman Tillman. I'm great, great. It was great to see you last night. Always great to see you.
It was good to see you, too. Are you going to listen? I'm going to play some Paul Robeson in a minute if I have some time before I go off. I got his speech, a part of his speech I'm going to play in some of his songs, and I got Chancellor Williams I'm going to play on the other half, so...
That's what I was telling Ebony when I heard that, my ears perked up. I want to state this briefly, but I love what you're doing in terms of that because our history is so vitally important. If young people if you're listening, our history, Dr. Chancellor Williams, Paul Robeson, all of these great legends, they had a great deep sense of self, and that is what we have to do. I can see the Black Power movement being revived, and there's no better way to revive it than through our young people. Listen, young people, learning about Paul Robeson, learning about what Dr. Chancellor Williams is writing, learning about what Dr. John Henry Clark is talking about, learning about the great Marcus Messiah Garvey. These are all leaders that have mapped out a roadmap for us to follow. So it's there for us to learn. You can get it at the library. All these books are at the library. Here I Stand by Paul Robeson. Marcus Garvey, Philosophy and Opinions is at the library.
You know, I don't even know what our people send their children. Our people send our children to the library anymore. They just stay on the done computer and don't go to the library. They don't even know about the Dewey Decimal System or any of that stuff right now. Probably even know how to find a book.
Oh, no, I mean, it's completely this iPods and all that stuff. But young people, if you're listening, parents, if you're listening, take your children out to the bookstores, a frontline bookstore. There are a lot of books on our history there. There are a lot of books, as I say, at the library for free,
okay.
Documentaries.
Well, Mesa, I want to try to get this Paul Robeson on
before I go.
To the 7 o'clock hour.
Certainly.
So I don't know how many I'm gonna play Paul Robeson, this speech that he gave about his struggle, and then I'm gonna try to maybe get some music in on him before I leave. So I want y'all to listen.
Okay.
From The Voice. Thank you, Maceo.
Thank you. I love you.
Love you too. The voice of Paul Robeson. Is he ready? Okay. Paul Robeson.
Platform to denounce racism in the United States.
Most importantly, however, were the questions raised by the State Department as to my political opinion. Here's a question of whether one who wants to sing and act can have, as a citizen, political opinion. And in attacking me, they suggested that when I was abroad, I spoke out against injustices to the Negro people in the United States. I certainly did. And the Supreme Court Justice just ruled, Judge Warren, in the segregation cases, that world opinion had a lot to do with that. A ruling that our children, Negro children, can go to school like anybody else in the South. I'm very proud to have been a part of directing world opinion to precisely that condition. The second, that I fight for the independence of the colonial peoples of Africa. Bandung, the colored peoples of the world assembled, made it clear that nobody is going to tell them what to do. They're going to have the independence. I'm proud of that.
When the 60s came, many factions of the civil rights movement...
Now, that was Paul Robeson, y'all. I got a lot of stuff I've been kind of looking at. My son kind of turned me on to it. I'm just looking at that was Paul Robeson, his position when he was before a hearing, and they railroaded him and they tried to make him back up. He said, "No, yes, I use this to fight for the Negro people. Because of my fight, some changes have happened." For those who don't know Paul Robeson, I'm gonna now play one of his songs before we go out. How many minutes do I have, Courtney? I got 5 minutes. Okay, let's play some. Anyway, I want to play Paul Robeson so that you can know. The House Live In, Paul Robeson's song. This the house. America, the house live in.
A man of a flag I see, a certain word, a democracy. What is America to me? The house I live in, the friends that I have found, the folks beyond the railroad, and the people all around, the worker and the farmer, the sailor on the sea, the men who built this country, that's America to me. The words of old Abe Lincoln, of Jefferson and Payne, of Washington and Jackson, and the task that still remain, the little bridge at Concord, where freedom's fight began, our Gettysburg and Midway, and the story of the land. The house I live in, my neighbors white and black, the people who just came here, often generations back. The town hall and the soapbox, the torch of liberty, a home for all God's children, that's America to me. The house I live in, the goodness everywhere, a land of wealth and beauty, with enough for all to share, a house that we call freedom, the home of liberty, but especially the people that's America to me. But especially the people that's the
house that I live in, Paul Robeson, the racism and all the other stuff. I mean, for my young audience who's listening to that, I know that's new to you. But we wanted you to hear Paul Robeson. This was a man who didn't back down. And we got to begin to pull that all out. You got to know who you are in order to be able to fight. Mama D.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hallelujah greetings. I'm timing myself to get everything in 2 minutes. On May 17, 1954, the United States admitted genocide when they ruled hard mind damage in the Brown v. Board of Education decision. On August 29, 2001, the United Nations voted slavery and the transatlantic slave trade as crimes against humanity and always has been. They recommended reparations and that the world community should honor the memory of the victims of these atrocities, and the United States walked out, but the vote prevailed anyway. All the gains that have been made, most of the gains that have been made by we as a people were made by non-politicians. Nat Turner, Frederick Douglass, Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, Malcolm X, Medgar Evers, Reverend Prophet Dr. King, all were non-politicians. Today's elected officials, especially in Chicago, are part of the problem instead of the solution.
Thank you.
On September 15th, at the Evening Star Missionary Baptist Church, 2050 West 59th Street, at 2:30 p.m., Global Committee, and I'm the founding president, commemorating King Day's sponsoring the children that murdered in the movement, motivating the children of today to stop murder in remembrance of the 126 children.
Give me the date where it is, so I got to wrap it up.
That was injured when a bomb was placed.
Okay, when is it, Mama D? I got to wrap it up.
It's on September 15th, the 50th anniversary of the children murdered
okay,
in the movement.
Okay, 15th. Okay, thank you, Mama D.
773 Respect.
773 Respect. Thank you. You're listening to Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON, 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.wvon.com. We're also on blackplanet.com. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on Facebook, group Facebook, and Twitter. This is Dorothy Wright Tim with Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with Me. Wake up your neighbors, get on up, y'all, because on the other end, we're going to talk about and play some Chancellor Williams, who's an author, Destruction of Black Civilization, The Rebirth of African Civilization, a historian. So wake your folks up. We're going to play a little bit of him when we come back, and we're going to also talk about some other things. Get your coffee, get your tea. I'll be right back.
The Talk of Chicago is 1690 WVON.
NBC News Radio, I'm Scott Walterman. Today, President Obama using his weekly media message to sell his plan to attack Syria.
Failing to respond to this outrageous attack would increase the risk that chemical weapons could be used again, that they would fall into the hands of terrorists who might use them against us, and it would send a horrible signal to other nations that there would be no consequences for their use of these weapons.
Fighting continues today in Syria. Government troops shelling the rebels near Damascus, and a battle continues near a Christian village in western Syria. In Egypt, the government has launched an offensive in the northern Sinai Peninsula. Helicopters and tanks are attacking what the government calls Islamic militants. A shift in political power in Australia. It appears the ruling Labour Party has lost today's election. Relentless infighting has left Australians disillusioned with the centre-left Labor Party. It has ruled for 6 years. This is NBC News Radio. With the 9/11 anniversary approaching, some events being held here in Washington to remember. More now from NBC Washington's Barbara Harrison.
Dozens of volunteers will participate in the 9/11 Day of Service and Remembrance. They will paint and clean up the D.C. Fire Training Academy.
In Texas, whooping cough spreading like wildfire, and Texas medical officials are telling people to get vaccinated. Here's NBC's Dr. Nancy Snyderman.
Doctors say vaccination is key. Pregnant women should get vaccinated in the third trimester of pregnancy so antibodies in mom can then protect the baby at birth.
London police have arrested two men for breaking into Buckingham Palace. One of the men was found in an area usually open to visitors inside the palace. No members of the royal family were there at the time. And MSNBC has confirmed reports that Alec Baldwin is getting his own talk show. It'll be called Up Late with Alec Baldwin and will air Friday nights. I'm Scott Walterman, NBC News Radio.
Only the Home Depot has durable Husky steel storage solutions from as little as $198. Sturdy tool chests and cabinets with smooth ball-bearing drawer slides. So you can load them up and the drawers will never complain. Give your workbench a workover. You'll find a place for your tools with Husky Heavy Duty Storage, and you'll only find Husky Heavy Duty Storage in one place. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-319-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-319-MYTV.
At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-319-MYTV. That's 877-319-MYTV.
Join Chicago State University for the Each One, Reach One event on Tuesday, September 10th. Get involved and bring someone you know that needs more information about college. It's not too late to make education a choice. The education of our community starts with one individual. Located at the Student Union Building on 95th and King Drive, go to csu.edu for more information. At WVON, we're always proud to help.
Join us Saturday, September 28th for Marvin Sapp Ministries Presents He Saw the Jokes in Me live at the Harold Washington Cultural Center. Starring Crystal P, Akintunde, hosted by Hans Sapp. The doors open at 5 p.m., showtime 6 p.m. For tickets, log on to TicketWeb.com or call 773-373-1900. This is one show you don't want to miss. See you at the theater.
Who in the hell left the gate open?
Are you looking for a great school? Then look no further. Kwame Nkrumah Academy, an African-centered public charter school, has moved to the Rosen community, located at 314 West 108th Street. Our mission is to be a global model of African-centered teaching and learning. We are still accepting applications for grades kindergarten through 6th. Family leaders interested in enrollment, please contact us at 773-568-8000. That's 773-568-8000. Kwame Nkrumah Academy. Our journey continues.
Another perspective.
Tune in to
to another perspective with Dr. Leon Finney every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WVON, and get a fresh new point of view. You can be more connected with another perspective.
Another perspective. Another perspective. Another perspective. Another perspective.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-642-8896. 1-800-642-8896. That's 1-800-642-8896. 1-800-642-8896.
It slices, it dices, with razor-like edges that never need sharpening. It's not a blender, it's not a set of steak knives, it's car windshield. And now, it can be yours. Here's how. Next time you're in a car and the driver's driving recklessly, simply say nothing. That's right. Let them change CDs. Let them text on their phones. Ignore that little voice in your head that's trying to warn you. And you too can experience car windshield. Passengers who have tried car windshield agree. It's a smash. Car windshield may not be for everyone, as it can lead to severe side effects and even death. Please consult your physician after you've experienced car windshield. Passengers who wish to avoid car windshield can do so by following simple steps, like trusting their instincts, speaking up, and telling their friends to slow down.
In the real world, there is no spokesperson to prevent reckless driving. There's only you. Speak up.
Act now. Paramedics are standing by.
This has been a message from the Ad Council. For more information, go to youarethespokesperson.com.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON, you're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Conversation with Dorothy Tillman on Chicago's legendary WVON, the Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM.
Don't need the road we cross.
difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind, because he allowed me to go up and look over and to see the promised land. What is the promised land? Ain't no pie in the sky. The promised land is open up those doors and see all of the fight and all the struggle that we had done. Doors began to open, and he wanted to go to the economics part of everything, and he just did not believe in his mind that we open up all these doors and black folks would get so selfish and not be like these other people. That's what he meant. Because every race who got something came back and rebuilt their community. It is 7 o'clock, y'all. It is that time, wherever you are in the world, in the city, in the suburb, in the country. Courtney and Ebony, are you ready to take that deep breath? Black. One more time, y'all. Black. Ooh, it felt so good. One lady wrote me on my email, on my Facebook, talking about she's not black, she olive. I think I sent her an answer back. So she listens to me every week, but she don't like that black thing. I understand. That's the whole thing got to be dealt with at some point. Young, gifted, and black. Welcome back, y'all, to Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live on www.wvon.com. We're also on blackplanet.com. We're on Facebook, group Facebook. And guess what? We're on iHeartRadio, wherever you are, you can take us. And we're on Blog Talk. If you missed this some today, you can listen back on Blog Talk. Just type in coffee tea and get your blog on. I type in Black B. Get your blog on. We're back. I've been talking about many things today. I told them at 6 o'clock all about my going over speaking in Jackie's Grimshaw Place the other day to this group over there at 20-something Weston. It's northern end campus for Daly's. But it's really most of the Latino community. And you had Latino and whites and Asians and blacks. And it was really interesting, as I told him during the 7-6 o'clock hour, that, and listening to Carlos talk about why he was walking and marching for the Dream Act and what he promised mom and all those young folks in there. And I really gave them a lesson about forced immigrants and what we've gone through and what have happened, what still is happening to us. And the interesting thing about it is that the interesting thing about all this is that a lot of them even understand our struggle. They just, fighting for themselves, and a lot of the blacks in there didn't even understand. That was the sad thing about it. But it was good to be able to get over there. I'm going to play some Chancellor Williams today, not the second. Chancellor Williams is the author of Destruction of Black Civilization. That's a book that every black should have in their house, just like Advice Among Masters Without Sanctuaries. There's certain books you should have around. I have books in my house, and my grandchildren just pick them up. Tell me about this, Granny. What about that, Granny? The liberals are picking. Ooh-wee, Granny, why that man hanging in the tree? Things like that. But there are certain books we should have as black people. What do we go from? Chaos or community. There's a lot of books we need to have. But Chancellor Williams' book certainly should be in The Destruction of Black Civilization, Rebirth of the African Civilization. Those are two books that he authored, and some great books. He was an African-American sociologist, historian, and a writer. I'm not going to play his statement yet. I'm going to play him in a minute. I'm going to take some of the calls. Then I'm going to play him. He said that, he talks about, when I told y'all that after the 60s, it was young folks who were out there fighting. We were out there fighting and getting our head beat. And after the 60s, Hoover said never again to allow the youth to be able to be mobilized in the black community. So then you see incarceration, you see drugs. You see a lot of things. So I'm going to play Chancellor Williams in this whole interview that it's a whole tape, but I pulled Chancellor out for you to can hear him. But I'm first going to go back to the phone, and then I'm going to play Chancellor. I'm going to take a few calls before I play Chancellor Williams. Pam, how you doing this morning?
I'm well. How are you all?
I'm fine, my sister.
black.
All the way?
I have no problem with that. And taking me all the way back to the motherland. I have no problem with it.
That melon sure feel good.
Absolutely. And I love everything about black people, the way we look, our hair. And I think that has to be affirmed because there's so many things in this country that they attempt to just make us hate ourselves just for our very existence.
It's like that. You know what, Pam? They had black women go around starving themselves to be skinny to try to get rid of their butt and their lips. And now they around there got big butts, and the black women who was trying to be skinny run around here buying something to put on their butt to look like they got some butt.
Well, you know, it doesn't become fashionable until a white woman sports it, right? I mean, we've had big butts, big hair. I mean, big hair, big everything forever.
Yeah.
But it's not beautiful until they want to adorn it, and then we're supposed to admire it. But
right.
Many of us are beyond that.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to ask you, Autumn and Tillman, help me with this. We know that Daley knew about the torture of black men.
Of course.
And interfered with the investigation. That's a fact.
And a lot of those black police officers was in place, too.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of black prosecutors, white prosecutors.
That's right.
They knew about the torture.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a lot of people who were silent on this. Let me ask, why was Alderman Carrie Austin, did you see her on the news?
Uh-huh.
And she made the statement.
I also saw her later that night at the funeral, Carol, at a funeral for Kathy Brown's mother. So we talked about it. But she made the statement that it wouldn't make sense or something. What did she say now?
Yeah, well, she made a reference to where it doesn't make sense to try to hold Daley accountable, or it's not going to change the lives of those young men. It happened. And it was almost as if we shouldn't try to push for the incarceration of Daley.
Well,
I saw
her that night at the funeral, and I did ask her about that statement, and she told me her position was that if he don't come personally and say what he did, it didn't make any difference. It wasn't going to change things.
Well, he should serve his time in jail just as every other criminal does. And I'm thinking this should be one issue, if nothing else, Alderman Tillman, that all black people, I don't care what your income level is, what your educational level is, we should all be able to come aboard on one accord and demand that they be held accountable.
Well, you
and
know what, Pam? But, Pam, those lawyers and the clients, when they agree to the settlement, they agree not to have him to do it. Now, that's one of the agreements that the lawyer and the client makes when they do those settlements. So if they don't be out there helping push us and do them, but they settle for their money. Each time one come up, one of them can take the money. And they settle for the money to be quiet on the Daley piece, and the Daley can move on. He don't have to testify. So it's really just as much of the lawyer and the client, but maybe the client so glad to be out and get the money to get a new start.
And I can understand that. So maybe the outcry has to come more from us and the people. But Daley should not be able to live happily ever after. I don't care if he is dating a black woman. I don't care if many of his so-called personal friends are black. Those black friends should be telling him to turn himself in.
But, Pam, now if the victim decide to let him go, how are he going to turn himself in? Did they make an agreement on something? Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you?
But as I understand it, Alderman Tillman, I'll go back and check that there can be, because I heard Attorney Flint Taylor, and he did mention, even though that was the agreement with the
Victim and the lawyer,
Daley did perjure himself as well. I think so those charges can be brought up. I just feel like Daley should be held accountable for the torture of those young men, because that is despicable, and in this day and age. But moving forward, I want to talk about just black women for a moment. We have to claim our own beauty back.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stop accepting these negative images. And we have to chastise and punish, you know, anybody. I don't care if it's black, white, if it comes from us, who are really just trying to demean black women. I hear some awful things said about black women over WVON.
Yeah, not only that, you know, it's really interesting. I tell people that...
and I'm not accepting.
You know what I say, Pam, is that the white woman get her money and his money, her money and our money, too. And somebody told me, they farm out... that was Paul Mooney. Paul Mooney said that white people take a group of white women and raise them. So when black men get the money, they said, go bring that money home, girl. And she go over and she get them and she bring them home. But, you know, you'll find a black man who have money... He will, that particular black man will go marry a waitress A fat ugly waitress.
Now, as a man, you choose a person who you want to bring your, you know, nation into the world to have your baby. So you'll choose someone with a sex tape, someone who's still married, and you still want to choose this particular person to be the mother of your child.
But the problem is he would never go into a restaurant and marry a black waitress. I think that was my point. Thanks,
sure.
Pam. Thank you so much, because I want to play some Chancellor Williams. Make sure you're here. I'm going to try to take some more calls and then play Chancellor. Let me just speak to John from Princeton. Oh, that's Ted. Put Ted back on hold, because I want to get John. He's on his iHeartRadio, and he's from Princeton, New Jersey. Then I'm going to come to you, Terry. Hey, John, how you doing this morning?
Good morning. I enjoyed listening to you and your conversation and some of your callers that call
Thank
in.
You. How's Princeton, New Jersey doing?
Oh, Princeton is okay. A little cool, but sunny and clear, but everything is fine.
We got the same problems we got here in Chicago, huh?
Yeah. I'd like to hear your comments on the outcry of this president launching this war. Now, a couple of weeks ago, the president made case to only a 1 or 2 day strike or unleashing bombs all over the place. Then McCain, a couple of days ago, gets on an interview, and McCain a couple of days was in his district last week, and he had one of those town hall meetings. And the outcry in that, I mean, they wasn't letting him get a word out. They told him, no, no, no. I mean, he looked bad. I mean, I think he wanted to get out of that meeting. But McCain is fighting with the president, but he put some amendment into this draft to get this done that instead of the president said 1 or 2 days. But now McCain says, no, 30 to 60 days with the possibility.
Well, you know, John, that's difficult. You cannot say how much time frame you're going to put on a war. You go bombing somebody, you don't know what you're going to get back. And you can't ever make somebody think you're just coming in for a day or two now. Hey, you coming in for what might be, you got to be at least, y'all said what y'all want to about Bush, but they were scared of Bush and Reagan. They thought he was crazy. And if he's going to go up in there, they got to know that he's going to kick their butts and go be in for the long haul. And I think that's what McCain is saying. You can't put a time frame on how long a war going to be. Now, he went up and messed with Gaddafi. You know, Gaddafi, nobody had even seen no mass destruction when they messed with Gaddafi. Gaddafi was messed with because he was pulling together the United States of Africa. And that's why his butt got wiped out. But in terms of Syria, I've been watching it, and this is probably going to sound strange to my audience. Really felt a little sorry for the president, and I'm going to tell you why. And I'm not saying I'm pro-war. You know, what I'm saying is that this is the first time that I can think in the history of this country that white nations, those who split up Africa and those who hung tough together, anytime America wanted to spit, they was there with a spit cup. Anything. And when those white, and he better understand these folks are doing that to him because he's black. It ain't got nothing to do with Syria and no mass destruction. I believe that those, they got together and they put him in his place, Putin and all of them. And if that was Bush or one of them or Reagan, they'll be signing off on it, right or wrong. They'll be signing on. And he better understand that this white world got together and decided to put him in his place. Now, it's very important that black folks understand. I'm not trying to tell you what your position should be on the war, but I have never, have I ever read since the history of this country or since I've been alive, remember any white country going against America for a brown country. Do you ever remember that?
I don't remember that, but I think you are on the right track, because I was talking to a historian last night, and he said to me, similar to what you're saying, all indications look like they're setting this president up, and it's a possibility this may blow up in his face, and if that happens, he may be impeached.
Yeah,
but
the president was always an anti-war president. He was not one that was supposed to like war. In fact, when he was senator, he was here protesting the war down at the Dealey Plaza, and he've always said he didn't want war. So he let them white folks talk him to going into Libya. And he went into Libya and just bombed up Gaddafi and kind of destabilized things over there. And that white America wanted, that white country, them other white countries, France and all of them, they was concerned about their own interests and all the resources in Africa. So they got rid of Gaddafi because he was organizing the United States of Africa. He was giving communications. He was helping to build stuff. And he was taking Africa, saying, you don't have to go through France to get your communication. We're going to build our own. Don't go through Britain. We're going to build our own. So he just got bombed away, just blasted away. And France and all of them, they was all up in there. Now we're dealing with Syria. And these white countries, even France, are they looking at it. But when you ever known Britain to go against America? I mean, that's, come on. And he better understand. I'm going to play. Is it because he's black? I don't care what he is. He better look in the mirror and say, they're trying to put me in our place. Putin say, okay, boy, I'm going to treat you like this and like that. Because they would not do that if that was Bush or Reagan. Right or wrong, they'll be signing on the dotted line.
I agree with you 100%. And then And if all indications play out, and to me it's like a chess match right now. All those ships in that region, and now Russia is sending. Russia already has a warship, but I think Russia is sending some more warships. So this is insane right now at this point. This is really insane. So it's like, who's going to blink first?
Uh-huh.
But to me, this is all I've always felt for years. It's all about Israel. Yes, in control of that oil in that region, but China and Russia is saying, listen, we gave you Iraq. We let you have Iraq, but we're not letting you have Libya.
Well, I think China and Russia is offering something much bigger than what they give us. They're into trying to get together and to bring down America and become the superpower. That's what it's about, power with them. And they got about to be, come on, be clear on now. They're trying to come, because if you watch the Chinese channel and you watch the Russian channels, which I do often, and you will see how over Asia trying to control all of the freight and stuff come from over there. You watch a lot of things. This ain't about we let you have nothing. This is about the hatred they have for America, and they're going to come together and try to become the superpower to bring us under. They're going to try to do it on this black president watch. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Black folks just have to, people, period, got to understand that if they check history, never in the history have they seen this. There's a play, Duke, the musical Duke. And Duke Ellington is going to be at the Harold Washington Culture Center on the 21st. And I'm going to come back to the calls, y'all, in a second. On the 21st of September, doors open at 6 and the showtime is at 7. They have valet parking. It's put on by Over the Edge Entertainment. So I'm going to talk to Mr. Bell, 708, his number is 708-357-2059. If you can't remember that number, you can also call the Harold Washington Culture Center. But he's going to be doing a Duke Ellington play on the 21st. So let me see. Talk to Terry just a few minutes. Hello, put Sale on hold. I want Mr. Bell. Mr. Bell, how you doing?
I'm just fine. How are you?
I'm fine. So you got Duke Ellington coming up on the 21st. Tell us a little bit about the play. And you're the president of Over the Edge Entertainment. That's your. Are you the president of Over the Edge Entertainment?
I'm the president of Over the Edge Entertainment, and Duke Ellington tribute is a world premiere, opening at the Harold Washington on the 21st. It's based on an album that I collectively did with some major producers, George Duke, Kashif, Tom Washington, Dwayne Wiggins, and a number of others. We wrote a lot of new songs. We took some existing Duke songs and revised those, and it was a true collaboration. On the album, we had some major stars.
I have the album. It's a very good album, Terry. I love the album.
We had Rochelle Farrell, Al Jarreau, Kenny Lattimore, George Duke, Nancy Wilson, the Dells, Otis Clay, just a ton of stars. And so we've taken the music from that album, and we've turned that into a play. It's about Duke Ellington in the 1930s as he's preparing for his second European tour. And it's seen through the eyes of a gentleman that used to be his road manager named Charlie Harvard, who's talking to his grandson who wants to be a dancer. And he's trying to tell him, in order to be a dancer, one, you can't wear your jeans down to your knees. You got to be able to pull them up. And it talks about a little about history and his life with Duke Ellington. It's a fantastic play, a lot of energy. The music we wrote took Duke Ellington, and we contemporized it. So we took him from hip-hop to big band, and with a lot of music in between. And we did one of his sacred songs called Come Sunday, his gospel. So it's a historical piece. I'm into giving back on a historical level so people can see things on a visual, and we're honoring one of the greatest composers of the 20th century, Duke Ellington, who wrote over and composed over 1,000 songs. So come out and see it. It's a great
Who's play. Directing the play, Terry?
The director of the play is Stanley Stubbs, who helped co-write the play with me.
Okay.
And so it's a fantastic play. He's a great writer. He's written Seven Shades of Men, which did very well. And we've got a few other projects that hopefully will be on the table.
Well, let me ask you, Terry. So the show is the 21st. Doors open at 6 and the show is at 7.
That's correct.
Do VON viewers get any kind of code or any kind of discount?
Yes, VON, if you call in and go to the ticket office or call our number and indicate that you could receive a call from VON, we can reduce the $40 tickets and we'll have those down available for $25. The VIP.
Do they call you? Do they do that or by? They call you to get that done?
Yeah, you can call our number. That's the number you had given us.
708-357-2059.
That's correct.
708-357-2059. So when they call you, that you would tell them how to get the discount.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you, Terry.
That's correct. Thank you.
All right. And you got an email too, right? Email over the edge.
OverTheEdgeEntertainment.com. Go to the website and you can find more information about the play. Give us a call, or you can call. You can use T-Bell 1-8877@AOL.com and just send us some messages.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Let's go back to the phone. That's the 21st of September. Duke, we got a lot of stuff coming. We got Duke the 22nd. I think we got... Marvin Sapp, the comedy play, the following week, I think. It's going to be nice, the gospel comedy play. Let me go. Ted, I'm so sorry you've been waiting so long. Ted, how you doing this morning?
Good. How you doing?
All right.
Yeah. Hey, I was just want to say blacks should stick together, especially in light of what's happened. I had a situation where it's like I had police brutality, and I never could get a lawyer or a doctor. I went to Jesse Jackson, and he totally just tried to make me look stupid and tried to embarrass me.
Why is that making you look stupid? Are you black, Ted?
Huh?
Are you black?
Yes, I'm black.
Okay. So you said you
went to...
Not Ted, what you can't talk about. You said you went to Jesse, and he tried to... How would Jesse try to make you look stupid, Ted? You said that kind of fast. So we can't have you just saying that and moving
okay.
over there. How can Jesse... First of all, when you first go to Jesse, you don't come directly to Jesse. You got other folks that you see first. So how did you get right up on Jesse Jackson?
Well, I did go to Operation Push, and I gave him went through the procedure of doing the paperwork with him.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse would come out and straight out embarrass him. He called me a faggot right in front of everybody. And he told me nobody knew what happened here.
Ted, that doesn't even sound like Jesse. I'm surprised. You came.
Okay, but we can get Jesse Jackson.
No. I'm just saying if Jesse came, you went through Push to fill out an application about police brutality, and Jesse came out and called you a faggot. Now, that don't sound right. That sounds like some slander and some stuff you messing with the Reverend.
No, I would never do that to Jesse. I mean, I respect Jesse for him, but a whole group of people tell you what that. It even was recorded.
Oh, so you went in there with a tape, huh? So that seemed like Ted. Okay, let's go back to what you was talking about, because, I mean, that just doesn't seem right to me, not Ted. Okay, what else you want to talk about, Ted?
Blacks should stick together and they should work together, because some of them are going around slandering each other's name and not working together, and while we both have problems, they should stop putting people down.
I agree with you, and we should start right here by not putting Jesse down. Okay, thank you so much. I mean, my God, I know you're not going to walk up and push and see Jesse. And Jesse's not stupid enough to come out and say, you faggot. I mean, come on. Jesse's been around longer than that. And then you had a tape. You just happened to have a tape when you came. Come on, you can't do that to my brother like that. I can't let you do that, my brother. I just can't let you do that. I'm sorry. Ken, how you doing?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, Ken. I'm fine.
Boy, that was a wild one.
Didn't make no sense to me, kid.
No, it don't. But maybe what I'm about to say might not make sense either.
That's all right. This show is full of no sense. That's all right.
Well, since Pam spoke, you know, with her spirit and the direction, because I feel the same way, Sister Pam,
uh-huh.
when our sister, all right? And from the history of the Chicago that I was born into, all right? So that's why I feel the way I do about that.
Okay.
I was just trying to tell her that
what I was saying to her, Ken, was that the victims get together with their lawyers and they make a decision not to pursue, to take a settlement and not pursue. And I was just trying to make sure she understood that.
And you're right to point that out. But, you know, it all comes ugly to me. Mind mail with knucklehead savages. Anyway, when you speak about the president and what he's having to
Hello?
This, I'm still here, Alderman. I'm still here.
You're going in and out.
I'm sorry. Can you hear
me? Yeah, but just know you're going in and out, Ken. Hurry up. Let's see.
My point is, if I was the president and I was with what I was dealing with, was getting that they are, I go ahead and fire a few rockets. So let them know, no, I'm the president of the United States. This is what I do, whether I'm black, white, or indigenous, especially if it's the Dutch that's involved with this crap.
Dutchess was very involved in slavery, so was France, so was Britain, and I still say I find it very strange that these white countries who have always signed on with America for everything said all of a sudden we got a conscience and we're not doing it. I think it's because we black, Ken. I'm sorry.
I think it is,
and I don't say that too often. You know that. Thanks, Ken.
All right.
Thank you. I want to play this, I promise you, and I want to play it, and I'm going to come back to the phone. You know, I talked about how black folks was fighting and young folks we were really involved in our struggle. And Hoover said, never again allow the young blacks to be in a position to stand up and fight and to be soldiers and warriors again for the black community. So I found this clip on Chancellor Williams. He's the author of Destruction of Black Civilization, The Rebirth of African Civilization. He was an African-American sociologist, historian, and a writer. I want you to hear what Chancellor Williams had to say, and make sure you get his book, Destruction of Black Civilization. It's in my house. All my children had to read it. Chancellor Williams.
What stopped it, of course, almost dead in its tracks, and not by any accident, was widespread and deliberately organized widespread use of drugs.
He's talking about what stopped the movement.
The fact that a decision was made. And I think most of you are familiar with the broadcast of the mafia defector who went on public media to declare what happened and outline in great detail the great plan of how to destroy the black youth of the nation, starting in New York. He said in a meeting 20 miles outside of New York City, the great decision was made. He said he didn't have to guess about it, and those who heard him know that I'm quoting him almost verbatim, because he was there. And the decision was to concentrate the distribution of drugs on the black youth of the nation, starting in New York, beginning in the elementary school, and that to punish, even on the pain of death, any of the distributors who invaded the white community or predominantly white school. That New York and other large cities were to be divided up into districts. The district commander, black, was to be given any kind of car you wanted, Mercedes, Rolls Royce, anything, because this would be a part of the sales pitch. That blacks just love fine cars, and he'd drive around through the community in his fine car, and some of his key assistants, and he'd be identified, he'd be known, and that sort of stuff. And so the story is, I'm not going any farther into it. But thus it began, and the spread over the country. And we fell for it. Now, one thing was important. That the thing to attract the blacks, more than any other thing, more than the drug itself, but to spread the word, have a number of key young people in it, and spread the word that this is the end thing, that that'll get them. Just say it's the end thing, and they'll brave the fires of hell to be a part of the end thing.
So that's our story of the decade of struggle.
He's saying to give the drugs to the youth, and we didn't start it all the way back, and I'm going to have to come back later and play it where they decided to stop and destroy this movement of young people moving in the direction to fight for the liberation of black people. What I do, y'all, is I search high and low to try to find information to bring to you so that you can't keep blaming yourself for what's going on with us. I mean, I don't want you to think that it's an accident. It's all, and we still, and then, you know, it's a whole piece on there of the, you know, I was looking at how they have distributed people and put them in our community called the Black Death to get on the radio, give false information. If you're moving your people, they come in, they be all over the place, they be everywhere. Every time you look up, you wonder, it's their job to be in everywhere you look, they there. And they be running off at the mouth to create dissension. And no movement in the black community ain't going on the day they're running off at the mouth to make sure that they move. And, you know, I found some other stuff where they were showing just how they decided to deal with Dr. King and what the government decided to do and how they decided to do it and how many black folks was up in it. The sad thing is these black folks that you don't even have no idea, you think they super, super, super. It's very interesting, but I just thought when I was looking at that with Chancellor Williams that I would, because it's very important. We talk about this drug problem, and we talk about why black folks are not mobilizing without understanding the real thing that's going on with us. I'm going to play this. It's because I'm black. Play it for me, Courtney. Is it because I'm black? You got it on? Okay. Well, maybe I'll take Tom and come back. Okay, this is, it is because you're black. I still say, and I'm not saying I'm for the war, but this white world is trying to put our president in his place. He needs to understand that it's about, you know, hey.
Only add color to my tears.
Are you listening, Mr. President?
Oh,
it's because you're black, brother. The white country just dropped.
That's flash against my hollow bones. That rocks my soul. Oh, 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 oh. Looking back over my false dreams that I once knew. Wondering why my dreams never came true. Is it because I'm black? Somebody tell me, what can I do?
First, understand you're black, baby. In the world.
Something is holding me back.
Yeah. If you understand who you are, then you don't mind with dealing with what you got to do.
Is it because I'm black? Yeah. In this world of no pity, I was raised in the ghettos of the city.
That's what Chancellor Williams talking about, y'all. Hey. That's what I tell y'all.
Mama, she worked so hard to earn every penny. Yeah, yeah. Oh, Lord. Something is holding me back.
Is it because I'm black? Is it because I'm black? I just want to tell y'all to let y'all see what time it was. Hello there. How you doing? Hello. Good morning.
Hi, Dorothy.
Hi.
Hi. This is Dee on the South Side.
Hey,
Dee. Just a quick statement, and I agree with you 100%. People forget that back in the day when The Godfather was the favorite movie of all the world,
mm-hmm. There
was one line in the movie that said, give the drugs to the blacks.
He said, no, to the darkies. Give it to the darkies.
Yes, because they are animals.
Uh-huh.
Back then, I wondered why nobody said anything, but everybody loves that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So you are absolutely correct. I think that we have to look back as to where we came from and recognize that this has systematically been done to us.
Mm-hmm.
Once we know better, we should do better.
Right. Right.
You know, that's all I need to say. Once we know better, we should do better, and I think we know better now, and the young people have decided that they're going to step up to the plate.
Okay.
Because this is their generation coming up, and they have to survive.
And those of us who know have got to make sure they survive, because it's
absolutely
our future. Thank
absolutely
you so much.
Yep.
You know, I can't understand black folks who are only thinking about themselves right now when it's about the future. And education is the key. We need to be dying and fighting for our education and fighting for jobs and fighting for our children. It's about the children, y'all. You know, you don't get to me, you know, and people in my generation older, and you sit and talk this, well, I'm just trying to get my stuff together for me. I dare you. We supposed to be laying our stuff for the next generation. It ain't about you. It's about what we're going to leave. It's about all of that, what we got to do here. We know what they've done. These children know why they got these tattoos all over their necks. They don't know why they're being marked, like they're marked in slavery and all over their body and how they're going to look into it. They don't know no better. And it's giving up and it's getting in their system and breaking down their kidneys and their liver, that dye getting inside them and they're marked. They don't know no better. They don't know no better because they think ain't nobody worried about them. Don't nobody care. I'm going to take a couple of calls and then I want to go to this song, Ain't Nobody Worried. We do care and we do worry. We do care. We do worry. Sal, how you doing this morning?
To be young, gifted, and olive.
I tell you, listen at you. You
that doesn't even sound right.
It doesn't sound right at all.
Dorothy, I want to thank you for all that you do. I just dig you.
Thank you. I like that. Thank you.
You like to be dug, huh?
No, I like the compliment. Go on.
Well, I like your whole family.
Thank you.
And I appreciate the attention that you draw to Jimmy Tillman. I love that. I'm talking about your ex-husband.
You're talking about my children's father. He's not ex.
Yes.
He's still around. He's still, he's alive, so he's their father.
Well, I appreciate
okay.
appreciate your recognition of him.
Mm-hmm.
Advice amongst masters is just an unbelievable manual that.
Isn't it so?
Yes, it is.
It's another part too to it, Sal. I got to try to get it. I'm trying to get the other one.
I'm not familiar with that.
I know.
When you find out, please
I
let
will.
Me know.
Okay.
I read it over the summer, and it's something that you just don't fly through. I mean,
right.
You have to really study it. And I want to admit that it changed me
mm-hmm.
In several ways. One, that my patience with ignorance has been reduced so much that I just don't want to be bothered with imbecilic feces.
Well, we got to give folks information, though, Sal.
We
you
do.
Know, through your
we
information,
do.
Your strategy flow.
No,
you know.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about the people who have the information but still choose to build their position.
Oh, I understand.
On a lie.
Mm-hmm. I got
which
you.
Is something that I witnessed yesterday
mm-hmm.
at the Finance Committee of the City Council.
What happened?
Well, the majority of the time was devoted to all of this money that the city has got to pay out for the evil stuff that they have done in terms of denying people jobs on the fire department and incarcerating these folks as a result of the leadership from Burge.
All your tax dollars, none of it going to build your schools or give you any jobs or anything.
I want to also recognize Gator. Gator came in a masterful way, but he always speaks with an eloquent tongue, tells the truth. And I just admire him, particularly so yesterday, for what he had to say. But in reference to why I was there regarding the amendment to the anti-littering, this is where my patience got real short. With the folk who came in attacking Brookings and me, for supporting this and claiming that the poor black folks were being singled out for this effort. And no matter how Brookings tried to explain that, for where it initially was designed, his amendment was designed to cut a deep gash into anybody who might throw some paper out the window. I supported them on that because I pointed to Dorothy sitting right there beside Burke. I understood why they felt that way because of the dirty cops that we have.
Hurry up, Nancy, because we got a board lit up. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is that it passed.
Well, that's wonderful.
It passed, and it'll be going before the city council.
Well, you know, we got our ordinance that is in place. Do you know one thing before I let you go, Sal, is that there's the state have money, and they're supposed to go up and down the expressways, even on the outside around the expressway, and keep it clean. And you very seldom see them. I'm not saying you should not throw litter, but you'll see them on the north side. The state and the city are supposed to keep around those expressways and own the expressway clean. When I was in office, I met with all of them, and I demanded that they bring those resources. So in doing what you're doing with that ordinance, they also need to make sure that the state do what they're supposed to do, and there's nowhere in the world they would allow that much trash to be around any other community. Other communities throw stuff, too. They just be out there picking it up time they drop it.
And that was one of the comments. In fact, I pointed to Burke and said that his community doesn't look that way.
No, because they clean it up.
Exactly. I spoke to how clean he has always looked. Not the way he is.
Okay.
And that's the way I want our community to look.
Okay, I got 8 minutes and a board. Every line is lit up. So let me try to see what I can do.
We'll talk later.
Thank y'all. We on our minute. We got every line is lit up, so I got to deal with y'all in a minute thing here. Okay. So help me out. Wes from Atlanta.
Hey, Ms. Dodd, how you doing?
I'm fine, Wes. How you doing?
All right. I got some information to send you about this electronic mind control they're doing for people. And I want to get your email address. But so when I get through, you can send me back to Courtney.
I'll give you to everyone.
Remember that movie Superfly?
Yeah.
That's the one that started all that drug stuff coming in the black community. I remember that in the 70s.
Superfly, and I'm going to get you Sucker and Sweetback and all that mess.
Yeah, Superfly with the dope and the cocaine. But, hey, Ms. Doctor, what I want to tell you is a new black TV network for me to launch in Atlanta and called Black On Purpose TV.
Mm-hmm.
Black On Purpose TV. I want to get you hooked up with it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you to Ebony. Ebony, put him on hold and get Wes your information. Okay. Okay, Minister Plump, how you doing?
Oh, I am fantastic. Good morning. Black.
Black all the way now. We in our minute zone. We down to the last few minutes.
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to personally thank you for yesterday in remembering our Queen Mother Earlene Aropa. Yesterday also was a fantastic historical day. It was my baby sister Delilah Ruth Plump Payton's birthday, which is was married to one of Walter Payton's cousins.
Uh-huh.
And also the greatest example of Mrs. Aropa.
Aripo, Queen Mother Aripo.
Clover.
Yes.
And also, I just want to say thank you again for your book, Hang On to Your Hat.
Mm-hmm.
And that book is beautiful, and especially on the page of 148, the picture that was taken with the world's greatest mayor, Mayor Harold Washington.
Okay.
And you are all examples.
Okay, I got to go.
Brother, sister, shaking a hand with a brother.
Okay, thank you so much. I don't have but a few minutes, so I got to try to rush through to get everybody on if I can. Hello, they're gone. Hello, you left me. Okay. Ted, how you doing?
All right. Hey, I was going to say, they should have a class act.
Didn't you call earlier, Ted?
Huh?
You called earlier, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't talk back to you. I don't ever let you get through. Khadijah.
Hey.
Hey.
God is still on the throne.
Hey, Mama D. God is on the throne. Give me 30 seconds.
Yes, this is 30 seconds. For one thing, Black Panthers in California, that's how they brought them down with drugs.
Uh-huh.
Next quick thing, What America was Paul Robeson singing about? Was he dreaming?
No. What he was trying to say, the America he lived in, he named all the stuff that was in America. He even talked about
America?
What was wrong. The house he
I don't know what he was talking about.
Well, you should listen to the song. The house he live in. He said, I come from a house, and this is all the stuff that's going on in my house. He was in another country singing, I think.
He wasn't singing about America.
Yes, he was. He said, remember,
America puzzled me.
No, okay. Well, we have to talk
about
it.
But anyway.
I'll talk about it some more next week. Maybe I'll replay it next week.
You know you can sing. You told that church.
Oh, you did. Thank you for coming out. You didn't realize I could sing, D.
Not like that. You
I had a good
that mic and went on. What was the name of the song, please?
Why Was a Black Man Born?
Well, you made that up.
No. That's come from the Civil Rights Movement.
Oh, okay.
Okay, thank you. Sakia, how you doing?
Good morning, Alderman. Quick comment and a quick announcement of an anti-rally today. I was just looking over the pictures that we took at the Daily Plaza when you made that statement this morning. When President Obama was the senator, he was speaking out against the war down there at the Daily Plaza because we all, our little black constituency, took pictures down there. And now he's letting Israel push him into a war. My, how things change. That is why blacks got to be out today if they're concerned about the war at the Federal Plaza. There is going to be an anti-war rally with Joe Africa. He's with the Anti-War Committee. You know him, Alderman.
Mm-hmm.
The theme is tell Congress to vote no. That's the noon today at the Federal Plaza. There's going to be an anti-war rally. We're going to march to the Tribune building and tell them to press, tell Congress to vote no today, 12 noon.
Thank you so much. Thank you. You've been listening to Talk of Chicago on 1690 WVON, the number one talk show, the talk number one station in the nation. We're here every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 on Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman. That's every Saturday. It's like fine wine. You got to wake up and get a little taste of it. But in case you didn't get all your wine, you can go back to Blog Talk and listen. And you can Jimmy Lee Underground, or you can go to Coffee, Tea, and find me. This has been a wonderful day. Oh, by the way, y'all, I'm going to be in Washington on Tuesday. I've been invited by the Speaker of the House and along with the Alabama Congress people to come in as they honor the President, Addie Mae Collins, Denise McNair, Carla Robinson, and Cynthia Weston. These are the little girls who was bombed in the Birmingham jail. Looking forward to going to Washington for that Congressional Gold Medal ceremony to honor them. I'm glad I was invited as an Alabama little girl. See y'all next week. Reparations Now. Don't take away my but lead me all around. Whoa. You don't have to move the mountain, but give me the strength to climb. Hello. Don't take away my stumbling block, but lead me all around. Lord, I don't